Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I'm glad that you have joined us today for our lesson time here in our online Sunday school classes. We thank you so much for joining us each week, and I hope that the lessons are being a help to you as we go through this series entitled So Great Salvation. Now, today, we'll be going through lesson number 8, but before we do that, I want to remind you of a couple things. Number one, I want to remind you to please be praying for Brother Glenn Matthews. Brother Matthews will be preaching for us again this morning at 10:45, and then again tonight at 6 o'clock in the absence of our pastor who is on vacation with his family down in Florida. I hope that you'll pray for them, continue to pray for them, that God will keep them safe and bring them back home soon. And then we hope to be able to see you today at the service there at Church of the Open Door. We'll be meeting there together in the auditorium at 10:45. And then we'll come back again tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. for the Sunday evening service. Again, Brother Matthews will be preaching in both of those services. And then on Wednesday night, we hope that you'll come for the midweek Bible study services that begin each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. So there's a lot of great things going on this week. I know that we're still having to endure this coronavirus situation. But, you know, I thank God that we can have these lessons together. And I look forward to the day that we can all be back together in class again and be able to greet one another, fellowship with one another, and be there together as a family. Now, today we want to go through lesson number 8. It's entitled The Fruit of Salvation, Faithfulness to God. And you can look at the lesson today. The outline is there on our webpage, and you can go through that. We're going to be using various scripture passages today. But I want to sum up the lesson in this one simple statement. And this is the thought behind the lesson today. I want to be faithful in all that I do for the Lord. I want to be faithful in all that I do for the Lord. There's a verse that comes to mind as I teach this lesson. I chose this to be our lesson theme verse today, and it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Here's what the Bible said. It said, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, King David's son, who was also the king of Israel, King Solomon, God made him to be the wisest man in all the earth. And he wrote these words in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse number 6, stating, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" I remember many years ago, Pastor Bobby Robertson there at the Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina, he once told me as we were discussing the heartache of those who seem to shout so loudly in church on Sunday, and then they end up doing nothing for God during the rest of the week. And he looked at me and he said, "Brother Ray, an empty wagon rattles the loudest as it goes down the road." Oh, that our world could see more men, more women, more boys and girls who would choose to be faithful for Jesus no matter what happens to them each and every day of the week. No matter what special talents or admirable abilities a child of God may or may not possess, the one thing that every child of God has the ability to do is to be found faithful. You see, as Solomon wrote, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You see, most men will brag and boast to anyone who will listen to them about what they're able to do in this life, whether it be for God or whether it be for self. But the question that still needs our sincere and honest consideration is this: but a faithful man, who can find? There's a song that our children used to listen to, and I still love to listen to it today, by Patch the Pirate. And that Patch the Pirate song is entitled, "I Want to Be Faithful." And it gives the simple formula for every child of God, no matter what their age, to be the faithful servant that God so desires for each of us to be. The words to that song say, God gives to all his children talents, both great and small. My gifts belong to Jesus. I'll let him use them all. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give him my best. I want to live for Jesus. I want to please God's Son. If he has found me faithful, I'll hear him say, "Well done." I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give him my best. And folks, I want you to understand something this morning. Being found faithful is more than just a duty to perform. And it's more than just a job to do in the life of a born-again child of God. Listen, being found faithful to God is a privilege, and it's an opportunity to let the world truly see what one person can do for God who truly loves God enough to simply do it. Solomon had it right when he wrote those words in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, where he stated, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" May you and I today be found by both God as well as the world around us to be faithful servants of the one who has saved us. But now the question that most folks will ask is simply this: how can I be found truly faithful unto God today? Well, that's what the lesson is about, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's look at this lesson this morning that I've entitled, "The Fruit of Salvation, Faithfulness to God." And I want you to see today what the Word of God has to tell us about this important matter. Now, look at your notes there on the webpage. I hope you'll take time to print those notes out and follow me in the outline as we go through this lesson today. Number one, I want you to see the fact that I can be faithful to God because God is indeed faithful. You know, we're reminded of the faithfulness of God all throughout the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at this today. Number one, point A is this: God is faithful in his promises. You know, Moses reminded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9, where he told them, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to a thousand generations." Man, can you imagine? And when Moses died and God chose Joshua to be the one who would lead God's people into the promised land, God swore unto Joshua there in Joshua chapter 1, the latter part of verse number 5, he said, "As I was with Moses, Joshua, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You see, God is indeed faithful to his promises, folks. Even as people all throughout history have come to see and to know, God is faithful. But not only is God faithful to his promises, but point B, God is faithful in his power. You see, Satan's goal in this life is to discourage and to destroy every child of God so that they cannot live as they should live for the Lord in this old wicked world of sin. But God is faithful in his power to make a way of escape in time of temptation, and to make that way of escape available to every child of God who will simply seek it out. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Aren't you glad for that? "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You see, God's desire for every child of God is that we might remain faithful to trust the Lord, even in times of temptation and discouragement. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we read this. The Bible said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And then in verse number 13 of that very same chapter, we see the reason God desires for us to trust His power and not our own, stating, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You see, God is faithful in His power. But not only is God faithful in His power, but, point C, God is faithful in His purposes and plans. God said through the prophet Jeremiah, there in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 sums up God's total purpose and plan for this old sinful world by reminding us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul reminds those Thessalonian believers, writing, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And folks, as God's dear born-again children who have been spiritually birthed into the family of God by faith in the finished work of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, God has promised in His faithfulness to not only empower us with His power to be victorious over sin, but He has promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And folks, if God is so faithful to you and to me, who are only sinners saved by His wonderful grace, then you and I have all that we need to be found faithful to live for Him and to serve Him in all that we do. Yes, God is indeed faithful in His purpose and plans, but how do we know all of these things are really true? How do we know all about these things? Well, you see, we know that God is faithful in all these areas because we find these great truths in His Word. And that brings us now to Roman numeral 2. I can be faithful to God because God's Word is faithful. Now, let me ask you something this morning. Where can the child of God go in this world to learn of God's great faithfulness to empower and to protect and to provide for His children? Where can we go? There is no other place that we can go except to God's holy word. You see, the psalmist David wrote this in Psalm chapter 119, verse 138. He said, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." And in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, he writes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What a blessing it is to know that the world can never do away with God's holy word. All because the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." It's established, it's fixed, it's settled in heaven. And while it's difficult to find anybody in this world who can tell the truth, let alone keep their word about anything today, We read in Psalm chapter 119, verse 160, that thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. That makes the word of God special to the child of God, does it not? Jeremiah the prophet wrote in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What a blessing and encouragement the word of God is in the heart and life of every born-again child of God. You know, I get to thinking, as Jesus knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer before going to the cross of Calvary, he prayed for his disciples. We read about this in John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. And there, as Jesus prayed, he spoke these words of desire unto his heavenly Father, asking him to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, child of God, think about this today, conquerors. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus was faithful to pray not only for those 11 disciples there beside him that night in the garden, but he also prayed, as the Bible said, for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And folks, that means that when Jesus was praying, he wasn't just praying for his disciples, but he was praying for you and he was praying for me. What a wonderful truth that is, that we can so clearly see and be able to find in the faithful and eternal word of God. And because God's word is indeed faithful, that means that I too can be faithful through the power and through the strength that I receive from the word of God each and every day. That's why we need to stay in the book and allow the book to stay in us. But let me tell you one more thing that will just encourage your heart today to be faithful. Point number three is this: I can be faithful to God because others too have been faithful to God. While God has been so good to demonstrate his willingness to be faithful unto you and to me, he has also, through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God within each of us as his dear child, he has bestowed upon each of us the power and the ability to be faithful unto him as well. And we can see examples of this fact all throughout the Word of God, but especially we can see these examples in what we call the faith chapter of the New Testament book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. There we see, point number A, the faithfulness of righteous Abel to stand for truth. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, the Bible said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. You see, Abel was faithful to remember God's requirement for sin. The Bible said back in Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, Abel was faithful to do right, even while he was being asked to do wrong. Abel was also faithful to stand true, even in the face of death. When his brother came up against him and tried to convince him to disobey God, Abel was faithful to stand true, even in the face of death. And because of that, Abel was faithful, and that faith that he displayed is still remembered today. Oh, we can see the example of the faithfulness of righteous Abel to stand for truth. But then, point number B, we can also see the faithfulness of willing Enoch to walk with God. You know, I love to walk and to talk with God. Many times I'll go out and I'll take little Precious out. I used to take Narissa, and after she died, God gave us this little dog we named Precious. And I'll take her out, and we'll just be going down the driveway there, and I can just walk and talk with God as I'm letting her go out and do her business. And you know, it just thrills me to be able to walk and to talk with a living Savior today. And the Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, Enoch was both faithful and willing to walk with God when others would not. When you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5, there in verses 22 through 24, the Bible said, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was both faithful and willing to please God through a pure testimony for God. And child of God, that's the way you and I need to be today. You see, Enoch was both faithful and willing to believe that God would one day reward him for his faithfulness to God. Oh, we get discouraged by the trials and the temptations that come our way today. But folks, God one day is going to reward us for our faithfulness. Oh, child of God, walk with God. Stay faithful to God. Because these great men did it, you and I can do it today. But then I want you to look at point number C. And I want you to see the faithfulness of trustful Noah to obey God's commands. Now there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, we read these words, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 6, I want to start there in verse 5 and read all the way down through verse 22. And I want you to see the faithfulness of trustful Noah as he obeyed God's every command. I hope you'll turn there with me. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22. Listen as I read. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Wow, that sounds like Enoch, doesn't it? Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. And Noah must have talked with him and met with him before he was translated and taken to heaven by God. And Enoch probably said, Noah, son, walk with God. And so right here, the Bible said that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the world also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come unto me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, and two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. And look at this last verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, it must have taken a lot of faith to trust and obey the Lord when no one had ever seen it rain before. God had always watered the earth with a mist on the ground, and now God was saying he was going to send a flood. He's going to send great torrents of rain and destroy the earth. And Noah trusted God, and he obeyed God because he loved him enough to do it. You know, it took faith and it took trust to obey the Lord when no one else was willing to trust or obey the Lord. All of his family, all of his friends around him, all of his in-laws and outlaws, everybody else around him, everybody must have laughed at Noah. But you know what? Noah had faith to trust and to obey the Lord, even when no one else was willing to do that. And you know what? He sets another example for us in the fact that it took faith to trust and to obey the Lord so that Noah might save his own family in spite of losing all of those friends around him. You know, many a person today has family members that are still lost. And somewhere along the line, we need to get a burden for these folks. We need to get a burden for those around us that are lost. Noah had enough burden for his family that he was willing to trust God. And the faithfulness of trustful Noah to obey God's command sets a great example for you and me today. But then point number D, I want you to see this, the faithfulness of earnest Abraham to seek God's promised blessing. You know, the book of Hebrews here says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, 9, and 10, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, faithful Abraham, had a vision for seeing him who is invisible. And he sought for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible said this, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and out from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what? Abraham faithfully sought for God's land of promised inheritance. He sought it out. He trusted God. He obeyed God. And Abraham faithfully sought for God's heir of promised blessing. Abraham was an old man when he finally had that heir. But you know what? He trusted God, did he not? And God again proved himself to Abraham to be the faithful one who would bless him and do exactly what he said he would do. Abraham faithfully sought for God's provision of that perfect sacrifice. You remember when he offered up his own son, his only son, Isaac? And God saw that, and God blessed him. And God provided the perfect sacrifice so that Isaac could go free. Oh, thank God that one day our faithful Savior came to this earth and God provided in him that perfect sacrifice that you and I might be able to be set free from sin and live with the Lord God one day in heaven. But then point number four, I want you to see this. If all these folks and others can be found faithful to God, then so can you and I. You see, the list of faithful examples in the Word of God is endless. The list of faithful examples, such as Sarah, Abraham's wife, Isaac, Abraham and Sarah's promised son, Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab, that former harlot, Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the other prophets of God, it is indeed endless throughout history as we read about those folks that were faithful examples. And we read there in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse number 33, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, the Bible said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, those folks found within both the Word of God and in history itself are given and provided by God for your benefit and for my benefit, so that we might truly see that the fruit of faithfulness unto God can indeed spring forth from our lives if we simply choose to walk in the Spirit and to live by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, each and every day of our life is important to God, and God wants us to live faithfully for Him each and every one of those days. You know, there's a good book that I would recommend for every child of God to read at some time in their lives. It's about those who were faithful to God, early Christians who were faithful to God, even in the face of torments and tortures. The name of this book is entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it was written by a man named John Fox. John Fox was an early English historian, And he wrote of the sufferings of the early church Christians, as well as those who came out of the Catholic Church after they heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the lips of some of the other born-again children of God, and who were even able to read the Word of God for themselves. And there they found out the truth, and the truth being that the just shall live by faith and not by the works of the flesh. He wrote in his book of the terrible tortures that those men, women, and even children who so boldly professed their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary endured at the hands of the papal dynasty that ruled religious England in his day. And it was because those dear saints of God knew of the faithfulness that God had shown toward them and all those who had trusted Christ and Christ alone as their Savior in the centuries before them, that they were able to be found faithful for God even unto the end of this physical earthly life. Millions, literally millions of born-again Christians were put to death at the hands of the Catholic bishops and priests. And yet, through the faithful testimonies of those dear saints of God, even in death, many of those same people who once rejected the truth of God's way of salvation, through the death of those martyrs, came to accept Christ as their own personal Savior as well. And even as we read of those early church disciples of Christ there in the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, where the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Can you imagine? That happened in the early church days. And even in the days of John Fox, those dear saints of God that were imprisoned and even put to death, there are many that still came to receive Christ as their own personal Savior. And they accepted Christ's atonement for sin and forgiveness of their sin through the faithful testimonies of those murdered saints of God. All, dear child of God, the list of faithful examples is truly endless. But I also want you to see one more thing here, that Jesus is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, we're reminded there in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, you and I, according to Scripture, and as born-again children of God, are without a doubt compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses of those who have learned to place their faith and trust in God, and who themselves have been so faithful to God all throughout history. But as we look at all these faithful witnesses, you and I are to see them as men and women who, just like you and me, have simply chosen to keep their spiritual eyes on Jesus, who is the true author and the true finisher of our faith. And as seeing him who is invisible, we can be found faithful. And if they can do it, child of God, even before fully seeing and knowing the whole picture of God's divine plan for sinful man, as you and I are able to do through the completed and finished canon of scriptures that we have in our hand today, known as the Word of God, if they could do it then, so you and I can indeed also be faithful to do it today. And then point C is this: God leaves the choice up to each of us as to whether we will choose to trust him or not. The writer of Hebrews said there, and he encouraged the readers of that letter, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, he wrote these words to encourage them, to exhort them. And he said, "For consider him," speaking about Jesus, "for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I want you to see something here, child of God. I want you to, first of all, consider what Jesus has done for you. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Look at what Jesus did for you. And if Jesus was willing to do that for you, then should you and I not be willing to do something great for him? And that being found faithful. And then secondly, I want you to consider that through him, you can do great things for him. Listen, child of God, stay faithful. Don't give in to the flesh. Stay faithful. Don't set your eyes on those folks around you. Stay faithful. Don't waver. Don't compromise biblical convictions. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." As we conclude this lesson today, I want you to listen to me just a moment. As I was finishing out my studies on this lesson, the sweet Holy Spirit of God led me across one of Charles Spurgeon's devotional notes, which I want to share with you as we close out this morning's lesson on faithfulness. Now, I've got this in the outline so you can follow along with me. Mr. Spurgeon wrote these words in his devotional that struck my heart, and I trust it will do the same for yours. The scripture passage that he used for this devotion was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 20, and here's what it says. It said, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." This is what Mr. Spurgeon wrote in this devotion. "Some persons have the foolish notion that the only way in which they can live for God is by becoming ministers, missionaries, or Bible women. Alas, how many would be shut out from any opportunity of magnifying the Most High if this were the case." Beloved, it is not office. It is not earnestness. It is not position. It is grace which will enable us to glorify God. God is most surely glorified in that cobbler's stall, where the godly worker, as he plies the awl, sings of the Savior's love. I glorified far more in many a prebendal stall where official righteousness performs its scanty duties. The name of Jesus is glorified by the poor unlearned carter as he drives his horse and blesses his God or speaks to his fellow laborer by the roadside as much as by the popular divine who, through the country like Boronigus, is thundering out the gospel. God is glorified by our serving him in our proper vocations. Take care, dear reader, that you do not forsake the path of duty by leaving your occupation, and take care you do not dishonor your profession while in it. Think little of yourselves, but do not think too little of your callings. Every lawful trade may be sanctified by the gospel to noblest ends. Turn to the Bible, and you'll find the most menial forms of labor connected either with most daring deeds of faith or with persons whose lives have been illustrious for holiness. Therefore, be not discontented with your calling. Whatever God has made your position or your work, abide in that, unless you are quite sure that he calls you to something else. Let your first care be to glorify God to the utmost of your power where you are. Fill your present sphere to his praise, and if needs be, if he needs you in another, he will show it you. This evening, lay aside vexatious ambition and embrace peaceful content. Man, what a devotion. And you know what? I feel like that this devotion is very fitting as we close out this lesson on the importance of being a faithful child of God. Don't you? You see, Our lesson's theme verse reminds us this morning, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Oh, may you and I, as truly born-again children of God, so choose to be found faithful unto the God who so loved us and gave himself for us, so that others might hear from our lips and see with their eyes the proof that God really does love them and that God really does want them too to be saved and birthed into the family of God for all eternity. Now maybe you're listening to the lesson today and you've not yet been saved. You don't know Christ as your own personal Savior. My friend, could I ask you today to please put your faith and trust in the God who gave himself for you upon the cross of Calvary? Fall upon your knees today and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and be saved. Won't you do that today? Listen, God is faithful to save whosoever will come unto him and call upon his name and confess their sin to him and place their faith and their trust in the one who can save them. Oh, my friend, won't you be willing to place your faith and trust in the faithful God of the Bible who promises to do exactly what he says he will do? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, God, thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing that you are faithful. And God, because you're faithful, then we too can be faithful for you. Help us, Lord, today in all that we do to be found faithful, to trust you, to obey you, and to live our lives so that others can see Christ is real. And God will thank you for what you do. Lord, save those that may be lost today, listening to the sound of my voice. Help them to see their need of a Savior. And God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today for the lesson. The lesson was entitled, The Fruit of Salvation, Faithfulness to God. And I'm so glad that you took the time to be with us this morning. I hope that the lesson was indeed a blessing and a strength to you today. And we'll look again to next week where we can dive again into the wonderful Word of God. Now, Conqueror's Class, I want you to know something. I love you. And I sure do look forward to seeing any of you that can be there at church today at 10:45. I hope that you'll be there. If you can't be, tune us in live on the internet. Watch us there today at 10:45, and then again tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Again, I hope and pray that the lesson today has been a help to you, and if it has been, then why don't you go and tell somebody else about it and invite them to listen to it as well. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today, and until we meet again next Sunday morning, may God richly bless you.